Okay, today's daf is daf chaf tes. So we got three lines down. The Gemara says, we've been talking about sukkah, of course. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, mani mishatia b'metalasa, mani michlia bar b'metalasa. What that means is, any of the kelim used for drinking can remain in the sukkah, but any kelim used for food, for eating, must be taken outside the sukkah. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, first in our line down, mani mishatia kosos, cups. If you have some leftover cups, it's not disgusting. People could leave the glasses in the sukkah. But money if you have some plates that have been used already, you need to remove them because it's disgusting. It's meals to have some leftovers and your leftover in the plate. So an empty glass that was used, not so bad. But you have some food with leftover kugel and leftover chicken. That looks a little bit disgusting. You have to remove that from the sukkah. If you look at Tosas on the top, there, Tosas quotes Rashi that says the whole concern here is mius, but then Tosas himself says differently, two lines down in that Tosvos, he says, V'yesh mefarshim, others explain, kagon kaderos v'agane delisha. It's referring to not what you eat on, but how you make the food, how you prepare the food, the pots and pans. That's what it should not be in the sukkah. Why not? Not because of mius, but taima de ke'ein to do, but you know, it has to be how you live in the house. There's a kitchen. You don't bring them into your dining room, the pots and the pans. So the sukkah is usually one room. So that room becomes your dining room. So to have the kitchen, your dining room, to turn in the kitchen, that would be inappropriate. That's not teshu came to do. So leave the pots and pans outside the sukkah. That's what the Tosfos is, how he interprets this Gemara. Gemara now says, Chatzva v'shachil bar mitilasa. These things must remain outside the sukkah. What is this? So Rashi says, Chatzva is a kadsha cheres, sheshovin bohamayim, some type of pitcher used to draw water. V'shachil is a delishal eitz. It's things that are not normally brought to the table. They're used to draw water from the well. So that's left in the kitchen, and you don't bring that into the sukkah. And not because of mias per se, it sounds like maybe this is because it's not teshu kain to do. Then the Gemara says, in terms of the shraga, in terms of the candle, where do you put the candle? B'mitilasa, some say you put it in the actual sukkah. Armila, others say bar mitilasa, others say you leave it outside the sukkah. So which one is it? V'lo pligi, there is no machlokas here. Haba sukkah gedola, haba sukkah katana. One's a larger sukkah, one's a smaller sukkah. So there are different interpretations how to read this Gemara here. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, shraga is ne'er shecheres, shekorin krishia, some type of pottery, earthenware made candle. The sukkah katana, you put it outside the sukkah katana, shall shear mitzumtzum zayin tvachim asal anichem besocha. It's going to detract from the shear. It's such a small sukkah, if you put the candle in, that takes away from the shear. That's the concern according to Rashi. But if there's a larger shear, so there's no concern of the candle take up any space. Tosos, the second Tosos on the page here, after a long discussion, all the way in the bottom, the last five or six lines, he says a different reason. The reason why you don't put the candle in the small sukkah is Shema Hayinu Taima Mishum Demokmina Basukkah Kadana V'chashin and Shema Tisarv Sukkah. So it's dangerous. You have a fire in a very small sukkah, that might lead to a fire. That's why he says you shouldn't leave it there. Others explain because mios, it's disgusting. Those candles didn't have like our wax candles. They were made of kli cheres. It got very gross and oily and disgusting. So if it's a small sukkah, it's going to stare your sukkah. If it's a large sukkah, it's all in the corner. And you're in this corner, then there is no concern. There are a couple other reasons brought down by the Rishonim, but these are the three basic reasons. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah from yesterday, Yardu Gushamim, if it begins to rain, so you're allowed to leave. So Tana, Misha Tisrach HaMikvah Shagrisin, when your pot of grits, or whatever you're eating, gets ruined from too much rain, that's the shear that indicates you can now exit your sukkah. So Abaye, have a Kayosef Kami, the Rav Yosef, and Metalasa. One time, Abaye was sitting in the presence of Rav Yosef in a sukkah. Neshev Zeka, a wind came, the Kamaisi Tzivusa, and some of the schach, piece of wood, started to fall down. So Amar Lahu Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef tells the attendants, Panule Ma'ane Mahacha, remove all the kelim, let's go inside now. So Amar Le'abai, Bai says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Misha Tichra HaMikvah, only when the food gets ruined. But a few chips of wood falling off the schach, why is that a reason to let us go inside the house? Amar Le, Rav Yosef says, Lididi Gazantai, to me, Kamen Da'anina Daiti, I'm very sensitive, I'm very particular. Kimisha Tichra HaMikvah Damili. That when the wood chips begin to fall from the schach, that disturbs me just like it disturbs me when the food is ruined from the rain. This is similar to me. It's all just an example. The example of the Mishnah was in the food that gets ruined. But any other type of mitzvah would be bechlal, the heter of going inside the sukkah. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Haya ochel besukkah v'yarduk shamim v'yered. So you're eating the sukkah, it begins to rain, so now you go down. Remember, the sukkahs were always on top, so they had to come down. So they came down into the house, and ein matshichin aso lalos ad sheyigmar sudaso. Now, let's say you've continued your meal inside the house. It stops raining. You have to now interrupt your meal a second time and go back up to the sukkah. Where it says, no, once you've started your meal inside the house, you could complete your meal until going back up. Why is that? So the Rishonim explained it's also based on Teishu came to do. That's always the explanation here, that no one can interrupt their meal in their house. If it rains here and doesn't rain there, you're not going to stop your meal. Wherever you're having a meal, you're going to continue your meal and then pick up where you continue when you finish the meal. So that's the din. So the Gemara then says, what happens if you're sleeping? You're sleeping inside the sukkah. The yardu gshamim begins to rain, and so hopefully you wake up and you go inside. You go down to your house. You don't need to return back to the sukkah until something happens. What does yar mean? So literally, yar means light, until it gets light, until the morning. So Gemara has a suffix: is yar with an aleph or with an ayin? Ibailu. Achiyar with an ayin when he wakes up, meaning even if he wakes up in the middle of the night, he has to return back to the sukkah. Oh, achiyar means until the light, until the sun rises. So which one is it? So Tashma, the Gemara brings a brisa, achiyar v'yale amud hashachar. So until the light comes and you wake up. Gemara says, Tarti, you need two things. It's a stira. Is it either when you wake up or is it when the sun rises? Which one is it? And so the Gemara clarifies, ela ema achiyar v'yale amud hashachar. Until you woke up, and the sun has risen as well. I mean, if you wake up in the middle of the night, there's no requirement to go back to the sukkah. You can finish your sleep. But when you wake up, and also the sun is up, that's when you have to return back to the sukkah. The Gemara then says, the Mishnah, we had a mashal, that if it rains in sukkahs, it's like someone throwing water in your face. So Gemara is trying to clarify, what is this mashal? Mashal lema davar domer, ibailu, mi shafach lemi. Who's throwing the water into whose face? Is it that the Eved spills the water in the master's face, or the master spilling the water in the Eved's face? So Tashma, the Gemara brings a very clear brisa, the Tanya, Shafech lo rabo kiton shel alpanof, that the master throws a pitcher of water in the face of the Eved, varmalo, and the master says to the servant, Efshi b'shimusheich, I'm not interested in your service, please leave me. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us if it rains on Sukkos. Now the Gemara quotes, based on, since we've been discussing the Simen Ra, a Simen Klala of raining during Sukkos, the Gemara talks about other Simen Ra, other Klalas that come from various things in nature. Ketanei Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Bizman Shechama Loke, when the sun is Lokum, the sun is hit with something, maybe some type of eclipse of some sort. So then, Loke, so then Simen Ra L'chala Olam Kulo, it's a terrible Simen for the entire world. What's it similar to? The Melech Basav Adam She'asa Sudo La'avadav. He makes a nice feast for all his servants. V'niach Panas Lefneim. He places a nice candle, a candle at dinner for his servants. Kasalem, he gets angry for some reason. What does he do? Amr Lavdo, he tells one of his servants, Tol Panas Mipneim, remove the light, turn the lights out, V'hoshivam Mechoshech, and let them sit in the dark. So when the sun goes out, when there's an eclipse of some sort, whatever that means, so then that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning out the light. It's a Simen Klala for all the Avadim. That means for the entire Olam Kulo. Tanya Braisa says, a similar Braisa now, where Bimeir Omer, Kol Zman Shema Oros Lokin. Whenever the various lights, the sun, the moon, stars, something happens to them, it's a Simen Ra L'Sonem Shel Yisrael. It's a bad Simen for Klal Yisrael. Because we're used to, unfortunately, we have a history of being beaten throughout the years. So what does that mean? Mashal a sofer shel ba'al beis sofer. The Rebbe comes to the school. Ritzu b'yado, he's holding his whip. Mi doeg, who's the most concerned of that whip? Mi shiragil alakos b'chol yom v'yom hu doeg, the one who normally gets hit, the one who misbehaves, he's the one who's most concerned. The kid who's sitting in the corner, who's a nice kid, doesn't get hit, he's not concerned. But the kid who misbehaves all the time. So look at Rashi writes here, the last narrow line of Rashi. Rashi says, mipnei shemulamadim mirakoseim. Since Klai Yisrael, we're used to, unfortunately, getting calamities, tragedy. Whenever something bad happens in the world, we should be concerned. Velomar, we have to say, this only came because of us. Yos Mishar Umos, more so than other nations, have to claim responsibility. Mipnei Shehein Regin Lelakos Yos Mikum. But unfortunately, as history has proven, we are the ones who are always getting in trouble. So that's what Reb Meir says from this. Gemara then says further, around six Y lines down, Tanur Rabban, the Braisa teaches us. Bizman Shechama Loke, when the sun gets this eclipse of some sort, it's a Simen Ra. Lo'ov de Kochavim, it's a bad Simen for the non-Jews. If it's Levana Loke, if there's an eclipse with the moon, so then Simen Ra, the Sonem Shal Yisrael, it's a bad Simen for us, for Bnei Yisrael. That we count based on a lunar calendar for the most part, and the nations of the world count based on the solar calendar, the sun. So the Mizrach, let's say this eclipse happens in the eastern part, so it's a siman ra liyoshei Mizrach. It's a bad siman for those who are in the east. B'marv, if it happens in the western part, it's a siman ra liyoshei b'marv. It's a bad siman for those who are in the west. B'emsa, if it happens whilst in the climax, the apex of some sort in the middle, then harakia, then siman ra l'chalom kula. That's a bad siman for the entire world, from all four directions of the world. Panav domim ladam, let's say the sun has the image, it's red, it's reddish. So then, that means war is on its way in the world. Lesak, it was made out of some type of black hair, goat hair, Rashi explains, a bag, some type of blackish color to it. That's chitze rov baliolam. That tells me that there's a famine coming to the world because when people are starving, people's faces begin to turn black. That's the bad simon. Let's say it's somewhat reddish and somewhat black, then there's a combination. That means both war and famine is coming to the world. So let's say the sun, the eclipse happens as it's beginning its rise in the sunrise, then Puranus Shoreh Lava. That means there's going to be a certain delay in this bad thing happening. If the reddish black colors happens b'tziyaso as it's exiting the world, as it's setting, then mimaharis lavo, it's hurrying, it's quickly, they're going to come upon us. V'yesh omrim, others say chiluf devarim, it's the opposite actually. If it happens b'tziyaso, it means it's going to come quickly. If it's happening, or rather b'knisaso, it's going to happen quickly. If it's b'tziyaso, it's going to be delayed. Vein lecha kol uma v'uma shaloka she'en eloheha loka ima. There is no nation in the world that when they were punished, their God wasn't punished with them. Shenemar says with respect to Mitzrayim, uvechol elohei Mitzrayim es shvatim. With all the gods of Mitzrayim, the Nile River and whatnot, they were all punished as well along with the Mitzrayim. Ubizman she'Yisrael osin ritzona shemakum. However, in times when Klai Yisrael are following what they're supposed to be doing, they're following the Derech HaTorah, then Ein Misyarn Mikol Elu should not be concerned at all with any of this, as long as we're doing the right thing, as a nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we shouldn't be concerned. Shenemar says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ko Amar Hashem El Derech HaGoyim Al Tilmadu, don't learn from the ways, the paths of the Goyim, Umeosos HaShemayim, from the signs of the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, Al Techasu, don't be fearful, Ki Yechatu HaGoyim Mehema, only the Goyim will be scared of this. Meaning what? That the of the Chacham Yechatu, Vein Yisrael Yechatu, so long as we're doing Ritzono Shel Makom. Gemara now says, the end of the Amud here, Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us. Mishul Arbad Dvar Mechama Loka. There are four reasons why the sun had, there's an eclipse, or whatever that means exactly, something happened to the sun. Al Av Bezdin Shemes Veinu Nisbad Kealacha. It was a Choshev Av Bezdin that died, and he was not eulogized properly. V'al Nara Hamurasa Sheatzaka Be'ir Vein Moshila. There was an Ara Murasa who was being raped in the city, and she was yelling and screaming, and no one came to save her. Val Mishkav Zachar, Val Shnei Achim Nishinishbach Daman Ke'echad, two brothers that were killed. So these are four different terrible averos, terrible things that causes the Chama to be loka. Ubishvil Arbad Varm Mu'oros Lokan, and there are four reasons why the stars and moon were eclipsed of some sort. Al Kosei Plaster, Rashi explains this means people who forge documents. They forge documents and say that so-and-so owes money to so-and-so, or whatever the document says. V'al Me'idei Eid Hashekah, those who testify falsely. V'al Megalei Behema Daka Be'etzer, those who raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. This is mentioned several times throughout Shas. There's an Isser to raise sheep and others, small animals in Eretz Yisrael, because it ends up happening. You cannot prevent them from not eating in other people's property. In essence, they're going to be stealing other people's property. That too causes this to happen. And fourthly, V'al Kotetei Ilanos Tovos, so cutting down nice trees, in addition to the Isser Bal Tashchis of cutting down a fruit tree. Rashi says there's an additional concern here. Rashi says, V'al Kotetei Ilanos Tovos, three lines up, V'afilu hein shalahen, even if they're yours, and maybe if you have some right to cut them down, halachically, shemashchisen hein, you destroy them, vein and veneer and kiboatim be'akadosh baruch hu bebirchaso shemashbiya tuvo. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a wonderful fruit tree, and you're, in essence, kicking the Kadosh Baruch Hu, saying no thank you, and it's a lack of a karasatov. These are the four things that cause the ma'oros to be lokim. Gemara says further now, last two lines, Ubishvil Dal Dvarm, Nichse Bali Habatim Nimsarm Lamalchus. There are four reasons that cause the government to confiscate a person's property. Al Mashe Sharos Purim, those who, even after collecting a debt, they hold on to the document in hopes to recollect from the person a second time, of course, that would be stealing. Val Malve Biribis, those who lend with interest. Going on to Chav Tesim Rebeis now. Val Shehaya Savik Biyadam Limcha Sipek Biyadam Limchos. Well, Micha, if a person had the opportunity to protest someone doing something wrong, and he did not do so. And fourthly, Val Shaposkin, the Tzedakah of a Rabbim, Vein Nosen, those who like to, pledge a lot of money in public to get a lot of respect, but in the end of the day, they don't pay. It's fascinating to know that actually people do this in every organization. They pledge money, and then they have to actually try to collect from these people, and many people don't follow through on their pledges. So that's the fourth reason why these terrible things happen. And then the Gemara says, two lines down on Amar Beis here, Amar Rav, Bishvil, Arba Dvarm Nichse Balibatim Yotzin Latimyon. Four things cause their property to go Latimyon. What does Latimyon mean? Rashi explains Latimyon means Shenitmamin Vikalim Me'alem. Somehow the property gets destroyed on its own. Not that they're confiscated from the government, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has them destroyed somehow on their own. What are the four things that cause this to happen? Al Kofse Schar Sachir, those who delay payment to their workers. Val Oske Schar Sachir, those who deny payment entirely to their workers. Val Sheporkin Ol Me'altsav Aram, those who remove any of their responsibilities in this world. They're seemingly referring to their Torah responsibilities. Vinosach Averim, or maybe even just their regular responsibilities, and put them upon their friends. Val Gassiz Ruach, those who are Baligaiva. Val Gassiz Ruach Kenegakum. And the worst of all them is those who are, of course, because with respect to those who are humble, it says about such people, those who are humble will inherit land, they will get land, and they will enjoy this world with great peace. That concludes the second parak, and now we begin the most famous parak of Sukkah, Lulav HaGazal, the third parak. So the mission begins, we'll read a little bit of the Gemara today as well. Lulav HaGazal. One who stole a lulav, it's possible. The pasuk says, "Lakachtam lachem." You must own it, and if it's stolen, it's not owned. That's one psul of a lulav. A yavesh is possible as well. Rashi explains why is a yavesh possible. Says Rashi, "Yavesh debainan mitzvah mehuderes v'andichsevianveyu has to be a nice zekeli v'anveyu has to be a hider mitzvah." Tosus takes issue with this Rashi. Tosus on the top writes, "Lulav yavesh possible." Umifarish bigamara mishum de iskash lulav le esrog dichse behadar. That the esrog is referred to pre-eats hadar. There's a special hider by esrog. And says Tosos, through the hekesh, just like hider applies to esrog, it also applies to lulav. Velo kemosha perisha kuntris mishum dichse zekeli v'anveyu. So the Rav Soloveitchik talks about how Rashi understands is a general hider mitzvah zekeli v'anveyu, and Tosfos said it's a unique hider when it comes to esrog and all of the dalmim. So that's a big machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. There are other interpretations here why it's possible. The Baal Mor says the reason why it's possible is because the pasuk in Malachi says rekrivu na l'chasecha. This is a pasuk that's used by karbanos. You cannot bring a pasuk carbon that has a mum. That's a psul. So here as well by dalmim it's a psul. It's a very strange thing to apply a pasuk of karbanos to dalmim. What's the connection? Moreover, when the Rambam actually records all the different psum of lulav and dalminim, he calls them a mum. A mum is only a language you use by a carbon. So pay attention as you learn through the parak. We're going to see some overlap between the dalminim and a carbon. But what is the connection? Why would there be such a connection? So it seems that there's an idea that I think I may have mentioned this before, that the Ritva writes that the only time you find the halacha of mitzvah ba'aveira, which we're about to see in the next daf here, mitzvah ba'aveira is only relevant when there's a ritzu. You're trying to accomplish a mitzvah that's being meratzet Hashem, and then there's a aveira that's involved. You can't be meratzet with an aveira. So the examples he gives are dalminim and shofar. Shofar is a ritzu. It's a type of carbon as well. We discuss this also. And dalminim is also some type of carbon. So that's why we see many connections of a carbon to that of the dalminim. Now, there's another interesting thing brought down the Ravid. The Ravid quotes in the Yerushalmi another reason why Yavesh doesn't work, because he says, Lo ha-meisim yahalleluya. Those that are dead cannot give praise. Part of lulav is giving praise to Hashem. If it's dry, that's considered mace, and therefore, it's not good enough. So, look in Tosas now. Now that we have this bit of a background, what is this sheer Yavesh? How dry does a lulav have to be for it to be possible? So according to the Ritva, he says, it's very simple. If it doesn't have moisture, what do you mean? Just doesn't have moisture, that means it's yavesh. But Tosa says something interesting. He says, you know when it's going to be dry? He says, Look at the, he quotes one opinion that 12 months, that's an indication of Yavesh. But then he says the last few lines, Ela Yesh Lomar, Yavesh is Dahacha, Kamo Yavesh is Ozen, Bechor. So he's using a carbon Bechor as a model, yet another example of a connection between Dal Minim and that of Elulav. What's the shear of the Ozen Bechor? So Gemara and Bechor has talked about if the ear of a Bechor gets so dry where it begins to crack, if you touch it, it cracks, which is quite dry, that would be the shear of Elulav. It begins to crack when you touch it. Okay, back inside the Mishnah now. The Mishnah says further. It says, we said, Lulav HaGazel, the Yavesh Pasol, Shel Asheira, Shel Ir Nedachas Pasol as well. These are Dinim of Avodah Zarah. Rashi explains, we'll see more in detail in the Gemara, that Ir Nedachas is Pasol, because Mishum De L'Sreifa Ka, you have to burn everything that's inside the Ir Nedachas, Dichsev Eskol Shlola Tikbots, you gather everything inside, you burn it, Velula Ba'i Shir Dal Tvachim, the shear of the Lulav has to be Dal Tvachim. And since this is Omer L'Sreifa, it's Ein Shir Kaim, it's considered as if it's burnt already, and there's lacking the shear. That's the explanation of why Ir Nedachas, Lulav is Pasol. Then it says, Niktam Rosho, if the top of the Lulav was snipped off somehow, it's Pasol, it's not Hidr, says Rashi. And let's say, Roshe Nifritu Alav, if the leaves all fell off completely removed, and you tie them back on, that's Pasol as well. Rashi explains that's Pasol, because that is not Hadar either. And then let's say Nifridu Alav, let's say the leaves are still connected, but they just bend outwards, so then it's kosher, but you should tie them back together. We'll see that Rabbi Huda says that, but it's still kosher as long as the leaves are connected. Rabbi Huda Omer, Yogdenim Milamala, you should tie them from the top, so they look like it's all one, they're all tight. Tzinei Har Barzel, Ksheros, they're Lulav gotten from a certain area, and those are also acceptable. And Lulav Shiyesh Bo Shlosha Tvachim Kedei Lenanea Bo Kosher. They have to have at least three tvachim to be kosher. Rashi says, based on the Gemara, it's really actually four tvachim. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says two wide lines down, kedei l'naneabo, mefarish b'gemar shloshet tvachim te'ashidra, kedei orachal shahadas. The shidra, the spine of the lulav, must be three tvachim, but then there needs to be an additional tefach yoser, kedei l'nane, you have to be able to shake the leaves as well, the be'ina nanua. So that's the shear. It's three, which is really four tvachim. The shidra is three tvachim, but the overall, the tip has to be at least four tvachim. Gemara now says, "V'kapasik v'tani." The Mishnah just says, without distinguishing, that all these dinim apply. Lo shna b'yamtiv rishon, lo shna b'yamtiv sheni. All these psulim apply equally to the first day of yamtiv and the second day of yamtiv in chutzlarts. So Bishma, I understand yavesh hadar ba'inan v'leka. So I understand that the yavesh, if it's dried out, it's not hadar, and therefore it's not going to be good, not for the first day of yamtiv, not for the second day of yamtiv, because you need hiddur the entire week. However, when it comes to Gazel, Bishwa Yom Tov Rishon, I understand Dichsiva Lachem Mishalachem, that you have to own it, Lekachem Yom HaRishon, Lekachem Lachem Yom HaRishon, only day one requires you to own it. But Yom Tov Sheni, am I low? But you can have a stolen one, there's no Lachem on day two of Sukkis, so why is there a Psul of Gazela on day two? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Mishum, going on to Daf Lama now, Mishum Dehavle Mitzvah Haba Be'Avera, because since you stole it, you got a mitzvah through stealing. Shenemar vavesim, as pasuk says, vavesim hine. Where the pasuk go? Vavesim gozel vesapiseach vesachola. So we have a connection of stolen the gozel dumia de piseach. Piseach is an animal missing a leg or a limb. Ma piseach les le takanta. There's no way to fix an animal with a missing leg. Av gozel les le takanta. You can't fix it, which means that it's puzzled forever. Lo shal lefnei yish, lo shal l'achay yish. No, it doesn't make a difference whether you stole before he gave up hope, the owner, or even after he gave up hope. It's stolen, it's puzzle, it's no good. And by the way, it's another application of a carbon. This is referring to a carbon. We're using this to apply to dal minim. So it's a mitzvah b'avei avera. So therefore, it's puzzle regardless of Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. It can't be used for any mitzvah, even if it's day two. So Gemara says, I understand, Bishama, makes sense. Lefnei yish, why you can't use a stolen animal before yish, because it's not yours. If I stole an animal from you, and you're aware of it, you're not miyayish it, I can't bring it as a carbon because it's not mine. I have to bring my own. But if you're already miyayish on it, and I pick it up, shouldn't I be able to own it now? And shouldn't it be mine to bring it as a carbon? I was coning it with your yish. So why is it still possible, even if it was before, even after yish? So just like by a carbon, you can't use a stolen animal, whether there's yish or no yish, it's possible across the board. Here too as well, by the dal minim, it's possible to use because of mitzvah ba'be aver, not because of gzela, not because of lachem, because of a general concern of mitzvah haba be'aver. Okay, there's a tosis here to do, but I'm going to skip it. Should we do it?
Yeah,
okay, fine. Look at Tosfos in the top. Tosfos writes, Mishum de Havale Mitzvah Babi Aveira. Rather Tanya, Lakama on Perklu Rava, Lachem Mishalachem Lotzi, it's a shawl, that's a guzzle. Mishum shawl itzrich, de Belab Lachem Nafkale, guzzle Mishum about Mitzvah Babi Aveira. So we have the Lachem later on that you can't use a borrowed one. You don't need to use Lachem to teach me Gzela, because the Gzela already is possible because Mitzvah Babi Aveira. So Lachem is really teaching me you can't borrow a little. The Alpha Gav, the Gavi Gar Carbon Siv, even though the source of Mitzvah Baba Avera is by carbon, says Tosfos, who adin b'chol mitzvah to have deraisa. It's true for any other mitzvah that's deraisa. That's Tosfos' shita. The Ritva says no, it has to be similar to a carbon where there's a ritzvah. So the Ritva limits it only to those that are similar to a carbon. Tosfos says it applies to every single mitzvah out there. How does he know this? K'demuchach v'reisha goza kama, the beginning of Baba Kama, one of the prakim there. Gavi ha'reisha goza sa'a shalchitim. A person steals a flower and he turns into challah. The guy steals. That has nothing to do with the carbon. So we see that the isra of a mitzvah babavera applies to all types of mitzvahs. Vim tamer the kaman the pasliyon lulav shel shei rav shayir nedachas b'shem de michtas shireha. The reason why you can't use a lulav of a shayir tree or lulav ayir nedachas because it lacks the shear because you have to burn it. Why use that svara? It went through an aveira of ir nedachas of avodah zara. Why have to fall back on this other reason of it has no shear? V'su amay de sharinan delav asher de Moshe. So why do we allow the Moshe's tree to work? It also went through. We have to get to what that means exactly. V'yesh lomar delo dami legeza de machmas aveira hageza baha mitzvah shiyoziba. V'hani atu machmas aveira shenasiba minafik be. So this is a very important yisod, says Tosfos. It's not any aveira that applies to a chefza you can't use as the mitzvah. It's only if that aveira allows me, enables me to do the mitzvah. So I didn't have the lulav, you had my lulav, you had a lulav. I stole your lulav, and that iser allowed me to do the mitzvah. That's when we apply a mitzvah bab aveira. But let's say there's an aveira of asherah, avodah zarah. That aveira didn't allow me to do the mitzvah, it was always mine. I just did avodah zarah to it now. So that will not be an application of mitzvah bab aveira. It's only when the lulav itself gives me the ability, enables me, to perform the mitzvah. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We start off talking about the various things that can remain in the sukkah, that has to be outside the sukkah, whether it's the kalim, the drinks, the cups, the candle, inside a big sukkah, a small sukkah. And then the Gemara says, in addition to the rain ruining your food, if it blows, the wind knocks down some of the wood chips, that would be another reason to allow a person to exit the sukkah. We said if a person eats a meal, it begins to rain, and he leaves, he does not need to return back to the sukkah until after the meal. So to a guy who sleeps, it rains in the middle of the night, he goes to his bed, does not need to return to the sukkah until he wakes up in the morning. Then we went through the different simon klalos of the sun and the moon and the stars, the simon for the east and for the west, and then we went through a whole series of brises of four reasons why causes the chametz to go bad, and four reasons why the ma'oros go bad, and four reasons why a person gets his property confiscated, and four reasons why Kavosh Baruch Hu causes his properties to go bad, and then the new bish and the new perik here, the various psalm of the lulav, hagaz, of a yavesh, and asher, of ir, and adachas, and so on, and then finally the Gemara says, although we understand why Yom Tov Rishon, you can't use it's yavesh, it's possible, bein b'yom Rishon, bein b'yom Tov Sheni, but gzela is only lachem, shalom yipasol Yom Tov Rishon. Why is it possible Yom Tov Sheni? And the Gemara answers, because of mitzvah, haba, be'avera. Okay, everybody have a great day.